My home is in the Smoky Mountains. Home is in the Smoky Mountains. Home is in the Smoky Mountains. And let me back be there anymore.
All of the tunes on the album, Old Time Smoky Mountain Music, are field recordings collected by a linguist named Joseph Hall, just before the residents of the Smoky Mountains were removed for the creation of the Great Smoky Mountains National Park.
I thought I heard a freight train going. I thought I heard a freight train going. Thought I heard a freight train blowing. And then we back heard it blow no more.
Ted Olson is a professor of Appalachian Studies at East Tennessee State University, and he selected the tunes for this album.
This project is really the first and only project to document the musical life of a people now displaced from a large, important part of the United States. Certain cultural traditions can be very tenuous if there are, you know, political or social or environmental changes that affect the people. And in the case of the people of the Smokies, they were literally removed from their homes to make a park. What we dealt with here were records, aluminum and acetate discs that had been utilized by Joseph Sargent Hall, who produced these records originally back in 1939. He traveled around the Smokies with this big cumbersome equipment, and it was very primitive. It was very unwieldy. It required a great deal of patience and a great deal of luck. Then he was able to win over the respect of all kinds of people who were basically in the Smokies for their last days, waiting to be, you know, kind of nudged out by the creation of the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. So a lot of people characterize this CD as a slice of a lost Appalachia.
Is that why Hall was there? To document the music before these people were removed? Or did he just happen to show up at this time period?
Hall was, in fact, primarily in the Smokies to document the language of the Smoky Mountain people. I mean,
music was
really not his bailiwick. He was studying to get a doctorate in linguistics at Columbia University in New York. He was a personable individual by all accounts and earned many friends with his good sense of humor and care for people. He lived with people in their homes, for periods of time. But he was primarily in the Smokies to document the speech, which had some distinctive linguistic forms, before these people were relocated by the park. And along the way, he realized that invariably these people also, many of them, played music. So in 1939, he returned with the plan to document also some music.
Now my mind is drifting back to that round shack in the hills of old Kentucky, far away. And I never thought I'd yearn and someday that I'd return to that round shack there someday.
Are any of these original songs written by the performers?
Most of them are traditional songs or covers of what they called hillbilly songs of the day. You know, there are a number of songs on here that were songs that people learned from records. There's a Gene Autry song and a Callahan Brothers song. These are all hits of the early 30s.
Happy as can be in that land of melody when I kiss her and I know that she is mine.
But by and large, they're recordings of traditional songs.
When you say traditional, because a lot of this music did come from England and Wales and places like this, is that what you mean by traditional, that these came from the Isles and then came here?
A traditional, in the sense that I'm using it here, would be any musical expression that kind of grew up from a communal experience. In other words, we can't trace it back to any one individual's having written it. In other words, collective material owned by everybody.
The oral history.
The oral history, the collective experience. Most of the traditional material here would be what we would call New World folk songs, ballads and songs and instrumentals that emerged sometime in the Appalachian past, and everybody claims it as their own and does a different version of it or variant. Some of these songs, ballads, and instrumentals do in fact date back to the British Isles, such as Down in the Willow Garden.
Down in the willow garden where me and my love did be, there we sit a-talking, my love dropped off to sleep. I had a bottle of the burglar's wine that my girl did not know.
As someone who studies culture, do you find it odd that Hall did not do more documentation about the personal histories of these people?
I would say that Joseph Hall was incredibly busy, and so he was trying to capture as much culture as he could in a very short space of time. And being a linguist, I think his primary interests were kind of capturing, you know, language and speech and stories. The notes for the musical recordings were inconsistent, fairly patchy in terms of the kinds of things he wrote down. Happily, though, we've been able to recover some information about many of these musicians, and there's much more research that needs to be done about the pre-Park Smokies and their musical heritage, and so that's an ongoing project. If not for Hall, this very complex culture would have been forgotten and underrepresented in our contemporary life. The real music of the Smokies is on this CD in many respects. Music that had been heard before the area became America's most popular national park, which is what it is today.
The fine city river down at the Big Bend. I suppose you've all heard of the Winding and Bend. The latest conducted was a sight that they can mince white and Scott Brown's line.
Ted Olson teaches Appalachian Studies at ETSU. Old Time Smoky Mountain Music is competing this Sunday evening for the Best Historical Album Grammy Award. I'm Chrissy Kuiper, WUOT News.